It says here in Parshas Korach, Kol Peter Rechem L'chol Basar Sheyokiv L'Hashem Ba'Adam Behema Yalach. Any firstborn of the womb should be to Hashem. Ach Pado Sifta, but you shall surely redeem Esbechor Adam, the firstborn of the man. V'Esbechor Behema Tzmei Tifta, and also the firstborn of a non-kosher animal. So here we have the mitzvah of Pidgin Ben in this week's Parshas Korach. So let's talk about a shaila that I had a few months ago. We spoke about it on Shabbos after davening, but it was only a very light overview. Let's talk about it more in depth. The question of the Kohen, the question of a Bechor, a firstborn that was born to a Jewish woman, who unfortunately had married a non-Jewish man. What is the status of Pidgin Ben? What do we do about Pidgin Ben in the case of a firstborn born to a Jewish woman, but to a non-Jewish husband? Okay? We're clear on the question here? So we have a kind of a winding avenue and road to get there. We'll talk about halacha l'maisa and how we pask in this particular case. The Gemara in Bechoros Daf Mem Zayin tells us, Bishlam Levia Bigtushasa Kayama. I understand that if a bas Levi, the daughter of a Levi, has a child with a guy, so the child is still considered a Levi with regard to Pidyon, meaning there would not be a Pidyon HaBen, because we know if there is a mother or father who is a Kohen or a Levi, there's no Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because the mother retains her Kedushas Leviya. Bikdushasa Kayama. If a Leviya, who certainly should not have married a guy, does have relations with a guy, the child born is certainly not the ideal situation, but it's not a pagam. It doesn't ruin her status of Levi, and she still remains a bas Levi after the fact. And therefore, the child, because its mother is still a Levi, therefore, the child would not have a pidyon HaBen. D'tanya, Leviya shenishbeis o nivala be'ilas nus, nosin la min ha-maiser, because the halacha says if a Leviya is captured or she engages in znus, so she still gets meiser, she still eats her meiser, she's still treated the same, she doesn't lose her status, she's not chalal, she's not absent in her ability to retain her kahuna, to retain her status. Ella, kohenes kaven d'ibayle havezara, but the halach is regarding a bas kohen, that if she is intimate with a guy, she becomes chalala. Chalala meaning she's empty. Her kedusha is emptied from her, and she doesn't have the status anymore, and she loses kedusha's kahuna. She may no longer partake of truma. Her son from the guy, says the Gemara, should be considered Yisrael. Why? Because the son that's born to her is being born to a guy. We don't care about the guy and his status. But the mother is not a Levi, and she's not a Kohen, and therefore, technically, she's the status of a Yisrael, so to speak. And therefore, the child be chayv in a pidyon HaBen. That's the halacha in the Gemara Bechoros. Nothing controversial about that. Obviously, the circumstances are controversial, but the halacha is pretty straightforward. The Tur writes in the Yerodei Siman Shin Hei, the halachas of pidyon HaBen, that this is the halacha. And then he adds, well, what's the halacha for the mother is a Yisraelis? What's the halacha for the mother is a Yisraelis and she has relations with a guy? What's the status of the child? Kohanim ulevim peturim mi pidyon b'charem. Kohanim and Levim are exempt from pidyon of their firstborn sons. V'afilu kohenes Levim nesuah liYisrael. Even if she marries Yisrael, ein haben chai pidyon, there is no pidyon for the child. V'im heim m'ubaros minachri. If she is impregnated by a guy, if she's a Leviya, so if she's Petura, because she still retains her status, her Kedusha. V'kohenes m'uberes minachri. However, if the Kohenes becomes pregnant from a guy, Chayiv HaBen Liftosis, that's what he must do, a pidyon HaBen himself, Lefish Neschala Mikahuna Mibiyas Nachri, because she lost her status of Kahuna, or Kedusha, from having relations with the guy. V'chein, says the Tur, Bas Yisrael Be'uberes Minachri, a Bas Yisrael, a Jewish woman who's not a Kohen or Levi, who is impregnated by a guy, Chayiv HaBen Liftosis, that's what he has to do, a pidyon HaBen. The Bach explains there in the Torah, it's a kal v'chomer, obviously, right? If a Kohenes has a child with a guy and the child needs a pidyon HaBen, then certainly, says the Bach, a Yisraelis, a Jewess, who's not a Kohen and a Levi, has a child with a guy, the child needs a pidyon HaBen. Yeah.
What would be the happening
of what? Why is
a woman, she has relations with the guy, the child is still Jewish.
I don't think there's a happening the other way. I think the Torah is just being clear, because the Gemara doesn't talk about Yisrael. So the Torah is writing a safer halacha. He just wants to be clear, not to leave out that particular detail. The question then becomes, well, who does the pidyon then? Who redeems the firstborn child if the father is not Jewish? The Gemara in Kedushin says that this is what we call mitzvos ha'av al haben, mitzvos that fathers have to do for their children, and the father of the child is chayv to do a pidyon haben. But what if the father's not Jewish? He's not chayv in any mitzvos. Technically, he has no halachic relationship to the child at all. So what do we say? So the Gemara in Kedushin says that the father of the Bechor is unable to be poda his son, then the Bechor is chayv to be poda himself, since it says, Pado tifta. Now let's look at the Gemara. Veheicha delo pirke avua. If the father does not do the pidyon, mechayv ihu lemifrake. He has to do a pidyon himself. Tichsiv. Now if you look in the Gemara, it says, pei dalad hei, tuf pei dalad hei, pado tifta. He shall surely redeem. The repetition of the verb indicates that the Bechor is required to be redeemed in any case. Meaning, padote, if the father's not going to do it, then padotifte, you have to do it yourself. It's coming to include the son in that mitzvah, if the father is negligent in doing it. This is what the Rambam says with the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tesvav, in Simen Shinhei, in Sif Tesvav. Now, Rashi has a different girsa. If you look at the Gemara, Rashi's girsa says, dichsiv, tipade, tipade. That's how Rashi's girsa says. What does Rashi mean? Meaning, the word, it's not pado tifde. It's pado, Rashi says, zichsiv, tifde, tipade. The letter osios, tuf, pei dal hei, can be read with different akudos. Tifde means he shall be redeemed. Tipade is the intensive reflexive of he shall redeem himself. So Rashi is making, Rashi's gears to the Gemara is a different drasha. Not that you shall surely redeem, but rather, tipadeh, the child has a mitzvah to redeem himself as well. Now, that machlokas in girsos of Rashi and the Gemara actually is a nafkamina in lamdus regarding the question of who is chayv in the mitzvah here. Do we say that the chiyuv is on the son? Really, I'm a firstborn child. I have to redeem myself. But what's the problem? I'm 30 days old, and I'm unable to do it. And I'm also not bar mitzvah, so I can't do a mitzvah anyway. So because I can't do the mitzvah, who's second best? The father. The father is nimshach for me. He's an extension of me because I can't do it. Is that what the halacha is over here? Or are we saying the chiv is really on the father? And if the father isn't able to do it because of unforeseen circumstances, then it goes to the son. That's the lumdus that the Achronim want to argue about. Yeah.
If the father doesn't want to do it for Smira,
yeah.
Is the obligation full to Bezdin?
Yes.
Would you say there's a parallel over here?
So the question is, what is the drasha saying? Padotifta, are we saying padot, he must surely redeem it? Meaning, if the father doesn't do it, then padotifta, then the son's got to schlep along because the father messed up. Or are we saying tifte tipade? Within the mitzvah, tipade, the Torah is telling us, you, the son, have a mitzvah yourself to do it on your own. The father can't do it, so then tifte, he'll take care of it for you. That seems to be the Achronim want to argue whether each drasha has a special gzeirus hakasuv to inform each limud. Is it the son's mitzvah that simply is bouncing over to the father, or is it the father's mitzvah that's bouncing over to the son when the father's not available? The Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Shin Sari Beis says the mitzvah is on the father, even after the Bechor becomes an adult. Even after the Bechor becomes an adult. This is the Sheet of the Minchas Chinuch, the Levush, the Shuvas HaRashba, that even after the Bechor becomes a bar mitzvah, the mitzvah is still on the father to do it. So then, what's the Gemara saying that if the father doesn't do the pidyon, the son becomes chayv to devote himself? What does the Gemara mean then, right? If the Sefer HaChinuch says the father has the mitzvah, la'olam vad, as long as he's alive, and the son is alive, he has a mitzvah to do pidyon haben. Why then does the Gemara talk about the case of if the father doesn't do it? What is that situation? So this, apparently, this is a new din. This is a special halacha. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, this idea based on the Madani Yantav and Becharos, that says if there's an orphaned Bechor, we'll get to this later on, because this is really the test case for our discussion tonight. If there's an orphaned firstborn son, there's no mitzvah to be poed to him until he reaches the age of bar mitzvah. No, there's no reason to step in. Once the father dies, the chiyuv bounces to the son. And the son is not chayv in mitzvahs at this point, and therefore there's a no man's land of where no one has a mitzvah, because No one can do it besides the son. And the son is not right to do the mitzvah yet. He has to wait until he becomes a bar mitzvah. We see, say the Achronim, that the mitzvah of the son is to be nifta is separate from the father. There's two separate mitzvahs here. There's the mitzvah of the father, and then once the father's not there, then the son steps in and he has his own mitzvah to do it. And the mitzvah doesn't begin until he becomes a bar mitzvah himself. Yosef Engel, it's Yom LaTorah, Klal Lamed Zion says that the Chiyuv Pidyon of the father is separate and it doesn't stem from the son. That's one approach. The Rivash in the Tshuva, Simukuf Lamed Aleph, says the real mitzvah is really on the firstborn son, on the Bechor, when he's bar mitzvah. But the Torah places the Chiyuv on the father because there's still a mitzvah as a katan and he's not able to do the mitzvah himself. And it's really an extension from the son. So again, is an extension that comes from the father first, or is an extension that comes from the son first? This is a lot of lumdus here. The Bircha Shmuel, Rav Baruch Ber, brings this b'shem Rav Chaim in the Chidushim on Kedushin. There's a machlokas in different areas as well. So that's the lumdus over here. Now there's a machlokas regarding whether it's better to have the pidyon right away or to wait until the boy is a gadol. Right, we have the child. He's not a chayv yet. Should I do it right now or wait till he's a bar mitzvah? The father who's a guy has no mitzvah to be poed to his son, right? As far as I know, it is not one of Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that the father should redeem his firstborn son. That doesn't even belong to him. Rabbi Leo Klatskin writes in the Tshuvas Devar Halacha Chelek Beis that the mother shouldn't do it. Why? Because the mother, he says, is an avaryanis. She did a terrible aveir. She married a guy. She had relations with a guy. So it's not proper for her to do it as well. So who should do the pidyon haben? And when should it take place? That's the question we're left with here. Who should do the pidyon haben, and when should it take place? The Tshuva Zecher Yitzchak Chelek Beis Simon Beis writes that the son should be poed himself when he turns bar mitzvah. So in the case of the father's a guy, nothing should happen. And when the son turns 13, the father should he should be poed to himself. According to the halacha, the guy is not the father, right, of the bechor. And then the entire chiyuv is on himself, right? There's nobody else here besides me. And when he's a katan, I'm not chayav to do a pidyon haben myself because I'm not chayav in mitzvos. And therefore, a marker, which we'll talk about in a moment, a marker or some sort of reminder should be made to be for the son to be poed himself when he's older. Put it, you know, in the Google calendar for like, you know, 2034. Make some sort of marker on the son. He has to wear like a sign or something. This is based on the Ramah. The Ramah writes, B'shem the Ma'aril, there was some sort of like necklace or some sort of thing he would wear to remind him, what? A scarlet letter, so to speak. But it's not a negative connotation. It's more like a string around the finger, so to speak. It's just to remind him, like, hey, kid, don't forget to do this. Yeah, don't forget to do this pidyon haben. The Rav Yonason Steif, the famous Hungarian posek, so he writes in the Kovetz Tal Talpios that he shouldn't do it at the exact age of 13. Don't do it on the day of the Bar Mitzvah. Why? Because we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? A mitzvah d'oraisa. And for a mitzvah d'oraisa, you need to have simanim, right? You need to have signs of puberty. You have to have shtei sairos. Now, generally, for a derabanan, we rely on what we call chazaka de Rava. You rely on the chazaka of Rava that says what? That if you're 13, we assume everything is probably fine, and you don't need actual simanim. But this is d'oraisa. So, Rav Yonason Steif says you got to wait a little bit more, and then do the pidyon haben on himself. Rav Yisrael Veltz, who is also Hungarian Rav, in the same Torah journal argues, and he says, chazaka de Rava is also for mitzvah d'oraisa. There's no reason to wait until he's 13, until he's past 13. 13 is fine. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Tshuvas Hartzvini, Adei and Simon Reish Mem Vav, has a suffix about this, and they're not sure should you do it exactly 13 or a little bit later. Now, this turns to the next machlokas. There's a huge machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch between the Taz and the Shach in the Kunus HaKesef regarding the Bechor Yosom. This is the case of Sulaka Bechor, the test case. What do we do by an orphaned firstborn son, right? It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing as the father's a good. There's no essential father here for this mitzvah. What do we do in this case? By a Bechor Yosom. So, I didn't bring you the Taz and the Kronos HaKesef because the Taz is very, very long. So I saved you the trouble of learning through a two-page Taz. I'm going to tell you what the Taz says outside. And for homework, if you want to have a Shabbos, you can read the Taz and you'll report back to me what you think. Let me tell you what this Taz says. The Taz writes that some want to argue that Beis Din can be posed if the father doesn't. That's what he said. I heard that some people say, in this case, by a Bechor Yasom, the Beis Din should do it. And the Taz says, no, it's not going to work. Why should the Beis Din not do it? He says the reason is that the Gemara says that we are Tovel a Ger Katan. I have a child who's a Ger Katan, right? And he needs to convert to Judaism. What do I do with the child? The Beis Din puts him in the mikvah. And we convert him even without his full knowledge. Why is that the case? Because Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. We can be mezakim, we can do something for that's a zechus for someone, even if they don't have das right now, to be aware of what's going on. And it's a zechus to become a Jew. So Tosis writes in the Gemara that zechiyah is a din in shlichus, right? How can I purchase something on your behalf? The answer is because I am acting as your shaliach, as your messenger. It says Tosis, if there's no shlichus for a katan, though, a katan cannot appoint a messenger, how can we be zocha the katan, his Judaism, if he's not able to make us a shliach halachically allowed? Right? Everyone understands Tosis' question, right? How can I act on behalf of the katan if I can't even have shlichus, a messenger status, on behalf of the katan? So Tosis, it says, no, in the case of Geirus, it's a complete zechiyah. There's nothing to lose. If it's 100% a good thing and there's no downside, then I don't need to have his permission as a shliach. To become a Jew, says Tosis, is all zechus. It's a great thing. There's no downside. And therefore, says Tosis, I don't need to have his permission. However, if the case of the zechiyah, for, let's say, for example, Trumas and Maestros, right? I know that my friend has a whole pile of grain to be separated, and he's not here, so I want to go on his behalf and separate Trumas and Maestros' behalf. Am I allowed to do that without him knowing? So the answer is no. In the case of Trumas and Maestros, if I separate Trumas and Maestros without the knowledge of the owner, what's the problem? What am I doing wrong? But I'm taking away his mitzvah, right? Maybe he wants to do it, right? I'm taking it away. So there, in that case, I don't say Zachem Adam Shol B'Fan, which is the Zechiyah that has knowledge, because maybe, hey, I wanted to do that. That's not a good thing for me. I wanted that opportunity to do the mitzvah. So based on this Tosos, the Taz learns that Zechiyah for a Katan, meriting the child, only works if it's Kulo Zechus, if it's 100% a good thing. You can't be mafresh, the Trumas and Maestros of a Katan, because maybe he would want to do it himself. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. You can't say Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav. The same can be said about Pidgin HaBen. Because if the Beis Din does the Pidgin for the Katan, then it might be a Zechus. But what have I done now? I've stolen the mitzvah from him. The Katan will say, wait a second. When I turned 13, it was going to have a bar mitzvah, and we're going to have a pidgin haben, and we're going to do the whole thing at once, and now you took it away from me. And therefore, it's not a zechus, because maybe he wants to do the mitzvah himself. And therefore, there's no pidia mitam zechia. There's no pidgin as a meriting the child, because maybe I'm not meriting the child, because maybe he wants the mitzvah himself. And therefore, he says, basin cannot do the pidgin for the child. The Divrei Chamudos also said the Beis Din can't do the pidyon for a Yasum Bechor because the mitzvah is on the father. The father is no longer alive, so he simply has to wait until he becomes a bar mitzvah. And the entire concept of making a mark to remind the Bechor to do the pidyon indicates what? That he's supposed to wait. Why would the Maharil and the Rama say, put a chain on the child to remind him when he gets older, if we could do it right now? Clearly the Maharil and the Rama understand that. We're supposed to wait for him to get older. And the Marim Shik in Yoredei Simin Shin says, according to those who shouldn't think that there's no Zechiyah for a Katan, I can't be Podim Mitam Zechiyah. If there's no concept at all, then how could I possibly do such a thing? That's the sheet of the Taz. Comes the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef, and he says, wrong. He says, first of all, the question of whether you can give Trumas and Maestros for someone else is a suffix in the Gemara. The Rambam says, you can give Trumas and Maestros for someone, so therefore, it's no longer a suffix. So the Rambam solved that problem. You're allowed to be Zocha somebody in that case. Second, Beis Din is makna the money to the katan. What does Beis Din do? Beis Din makes a kinyan, and they give the money over to the child, the baby, and then they do it on his behalf. So essentially, the baby is getting a mitzvah. He is doing the pidyon as a child, because it's coming from his own money. That's argument number two. And finally, the Gemara in Kedushin Mem Beis says that we appoint an apotropos. We appoint what's the legal term? A guardian. We appoint an emissary, a guardian for the katan, for the yasun to be zocha for him. And even if there's an aspect of chova. So it is happening in his court. It is happening with his mitzvah. He's getting zechus. If they go up to the Shemaim 120 years, it'll say, yes, you did a pigeon of Ben for yourself, and that's what it is. And Zeriz Makdim on the mitzvos, I guess we could, the Taz would possibly argue and say, well, that's not my mitzvah, that's them. So that might be the argument in this case. Now, this machlokus is discussed in the Achronim, and obviously it's a nafkamina for our case. So what do we say, lemaisa? The Rav Meir Mazuz, who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, writes in the Chuvos Ish Matzliach, Chelek Alf Yordei Simin Mem Zayin. He says that in the case where the father is a guy, there's a greater reason to be choshesh for the shach, and to the pigeon with a basin, or he says possibly the mother, because the son, what's going to happen to the son? Let's look at the situation again. A guyish father, a Jewish mother. What is the likelihood that he's going to grow up and end up doing a pigeon aben? Very, very slim. He's going to be like his father. He's going to like his father's baseball teams. He's going to like his father's style of clothing, his taste in music. He's not going to be interested in doing a pigeon aben. And he will forget about it. He will not be told about it, and he will miss the mitzvah. And therefore, says Rav Meir Mazuz in the Chuvos Ish Matzliach, better for basins with the pigeon now, so the mitzvah will not be forgotten. Rav Shechter felt the same way. Rav Shechter felt that the Piskei Tshuva, he told me the Piskei Tshuva there in Simen Shinhei, in Sif Katan Tez Zayin, the Piskei Tshuva cites a Tshuva the Chassam Sofer in Yerodei and Simen Reish Sadi Hei, who says we should be machmer on both ends. The Chassam Sofer says, meaning, the Iker is like the Taz, that one shouldn't do the pigeon of the Bechor Yasom now, when he's a Katan. But it's good also to be Yotze, the Shita of the Shach, and have the basin be put to the child. Then they should make a note, and that the child will have a Suffolk pigeon, so to speak, and when he gets older, he'll be put himself again. Again, the Chassam Sofer says in the case of the Yasom Bechor, do two pigeons, do one now, without a bracha, or do it now with a bracha, I guess, or now without a bracha, and you'll do it again when he gets older again as a suffix again, and essentially be machmer for the shach and the taz both at the same time. That's what the Chassam Sofer says, and that's what the Piskei Tshuva says. But Rav Shechter said, and he quotes this actually in Nefesh HaRav, that's the source you have in front of you, in page Reish Mem Hei, B'Shem Rabbi Soloveitchik, that in Europe, the basin, in a case of a pigeon, Yasom Bechor, it's not our case, but it is our case, right? The case of a Yasom Bechor is the same as the case of the father's a guy. They would do it right away with a bracha. V'Rabbeinu Amar, Shehaminag Balita Haya Kedas HaShach, V'Hagra Shama, She'af Acherim Yechol Neftos, that someone else can do the pigeon, and they can basically do the pigeon right away, no reason to wait. And he says, Rav Shechter says, and also look in the Aruch HaShulchan, what does the Aruch HaShulchan say? V'hinei HaChsam Sofer, Simen Reish Sadi Hei, V'ha, I'm not sure who that is, not to the Taz. They go like the Taz. Because who she have to based in Atzav lo bracha. The basin should do it now without a bracha. The slow spo Taz and have a sign. Should be when he gets older. Yifta odes atzmo below bracha. He'll do again without a bracha later on. Umiyamenu says the Aruch HaShulchan lo shamanu zeh. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, this is not the minhag in Europe to do two. We do it now. Bahagra Pasak Pichas Kashach, the Chenir Iker Leonias Daiti, Uchumaduma Shekhaniminuk, the Minuk says the Aruch HaShulchan is, and says Rabbi Salvechik, they did the pigeon by a Yasom, by an orphaned Bechor, right away through Beis Din. And says Rosh Hashanah, the same thing should be over here, by the father who's a guy, same exact halacha, do the pigeon right now. And Rosh Hashanah said the pigeon should be done now with a bracha. He said, told me in this case, and this is what I did, I acted as Beis Din in this particular case. For the pigeon. Rav Shechter actually notes a svara to defend this as well in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi. Look in Eretz Tzvi in Simen Ches. There he argues that the chiyuv on the son is nimshach from the chiyuv of the father, right? Let's go back to our lamdas. The de'ikra chiyuv pigeon aben hu alav. Really, the mitzvah says Rav Shechter is on the father. V'lo padu aviv shechayev haben liftos es atzmo. And if he doesn't do the pigeon, then it bounces to the son. Chiyuv haben the chiv of the son is pulling. It's coming from the father. It's not a new chiv that's separate from the father. So this is the lumdus we saw before. Says Rav Shechter, in a case where the father was not chayiv ever, the pigeon aben, i.e. a guy, right? There was never a father who was chayim pidyon haben. Sha'af haben lo hayim mechayim b'zeh. And therefore, the son is also not chayim. So Rosh Hashanah goes further. Not only is the minag that the father should do it, that the basin should do it, but there's no mitzvah on the son. Even when he gets older, there's no mitzvah for him to do it, because it's nimshach from the father. And if there was no father, because the father was a guy, then there was never a mitzvah on the son at all. It has to come from outside of the son. The question is, who pays for the money? So how do I get the money? So Shachar said, it had to come from me. So I had to put out the money for the pigeon I ben. The minig is 100 grams of silver. And Shachar also said that there's no reason to do the nusach of the back and forth. Do you want your son? How much does it cost? He said, there's no reason to do the nusach here at all with the Kohen and the rabbi. It happens to be that the minig in the Soloveitchik family, going back to Reb Chaim, was not used in nusach at all, because it came from the Gaonim, it wasn't in the Gemara, and they weren't sure where the nusach came from. So they just said two brachos, and that was it. But he said, told me not to do the nusach as well. Just the two brachos should be said, followed by the Kohen making the Ber Pir Gafen, waving with the money, and then Birchas Kohanim. So it was a very short Pidyon HaBen as well. Not that like the process is so long, but it was even shorter than usual. So that's what we did. We did the Pidyon HaBen as soon as possible when the child was a few months old. I'll just say a beautiful word that I heard from Rabbi Franz regarding Pidyon HaBen, B'shem his Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Ruderman. Rav Ruderman said, just regarding that back and forth, that conversation, right? The Kohen asked the father, do you want to keep the 5 shkalim? Do you want to keep the shkalim or keep your son? Right, this whole conversation. So it's obvious to everybody in the room that the father opts to keep the son and not the money. No one here has ever been to a Pidyon HaBen where the father went home, you know, without the son and kept the money. It's not a thing. So the question is, what's going on over here? What's this game that we're playing? So Rav Ruderman had a beautiful pshat. He said that the question is really a challenge for the entire life of the parents. Do they pursue the dollar so avidly that they lose sight of being a parent, actually being there when the children need them, or are they relegating the responsibility to somebody else? What do you want more? Is it the money or is it the child? It's not a question about right now. It's a calling. It's a divrei musar for the parents going forward. What do you value more? Is it the money? Is the pursuit of physicality in this world and the money, or is the child? And that question, says Rabbi Yaakov Ruderman, should be ringing through the ears of the parents going forward, la olam vayed. Okay.
So